Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. And hey, Don, go ahead and maybe try Rich again, if you can. We're hoping to get on the show. Rich Wyatt, the chairperson of the Jefferson County Republican Party. Apparently, at 710 KNUS, the morning co-host, Billy, does not appreciate everyone's point of view. But we'll get it all straight. I mean, Chuck, you heard a little bit about it. And we'll talk to Rich about it.
Did you hear? Hilarious, you know. Rich is a big supporter of Tina Peters, and Billy thinks she's deservedly in the penitentiary and they should throw the key away, which they have with a 9-year sentence if you're 69 years old. But he got his ass handed to him by America's Mom, and so it came back, and it was great. It was great. If you haven't watched it,
you're talking about Rich or America's Mom?
Either one's great, but Rich is great. He tries to cut off his mic or does. And as you know, Julie, you went out to Mandy Cowell's show with the Honey Badger. And
with Mark Hampton,
And handed Mandy her butt. She was supposed to be there for at least an hour. She was promoting it and everything else. She was smart enough, though, that as she's getting her butt handed,
she just ended the show.
Ended the segment, didn't say anything, and then hustled you out as quickly as possible. And then, appeared again. It didn't seem like there was any problem at all. So
she didn't. She never tried. For people who don't know, and if we get Rich on, and maybe if he doesn't go, I don't have to. So the way that the audio thing is set up at 710 KNUS is there are three chairs, right? And there is a microphone and the little buttons that you can mute people's microphone and turn them on and off. Now, usually it's just the person who's talking. Like if you have to cough or something, you would reach over and mute it. And Billy runs the board as well. So he controls the microphones so he can just turn you off, I guess.
That's a little different. They're having a IHOP event. They're doing live from IHOP.
Oh, well, here, but we got Rich again. We've got Rich online. So we'll have him tell the story. Hey, Rich Wyatt, chair of Jeffco Republican Party. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for your time.
Hi, guys. What'd you do? Shut off my mic or something?
We shut off your microphone. That's right. Tell us what happened. So you're invited on the show, I'm assuming, and you didn't just storm in there. I mean, and they apparently, Billy did not like what you were saying, so you were censored, huh?
Well, what happened, Jeff invited me down to the show, and Jeff was very, polite and kind. He was at the event down there, the state party did with Bannon, and he gave a great intro and was, just fantastic. And Billy, he brought up Tina Peters because we played that phone call from Tina Peters at the event that night, and he brought that up, and that brought up the Tina Peters conversation. As you know, Billy is against Tina and what she did, and thinks what she did is wrong. And I take umbrage with that because I love Tina as a person. I think she's just spectacular. And, her and I have some parallels in common that join us together. We both lost our sons. And, her son was a Navy SEAL and we lost him in service in a training incident, serving our country. And I just don't think a Gold Star mom belongs in jail for something that probably wasn't even illegal. So, right. But Billy takes umbrage with that, and so he got a little hot under the collar, let's say.
And he did it two or three times. I don't know if you watched the Tina Peters one, but he did the same thing where
to Sharona Bishop.
If you try to say something, he goes, "Are you going to let me speak? Are you going to let me? Are you just going to talk over me the whole time? Are you going to let me speak?"
That's a high school debate tactic, I'm not really sure what to say now, so I'll just cut you off and then say, "Are you going to let me speak?" well, obviously you're going to speak whenever you want because you got the control of the button. I didn't have a button on him or I'd have shut him off.
Rich, why is it you think that people like Billy and the left, I mean, you can't, Greg Lopez is running for governor and the Colorado Sun launches into this election deniery stuff, even though everything that they've always talked about, I mean, in Arizona, what, they've taken 50,000 people off the rolls. I mean, everything that you guys and that Tina has been saying are now being proven, not just speculated, but proven to be true. Why is it that some of these people, you can't even talk about it, right? You can't even, they don't want to debate. They just want you to shut up. What is up with that?
Well, Julie, they know it's their path to victory. They can't win on principles, moral values, and what they want to do for this country. Nobody's going to vote for them when they say, I want to destroy the country, enrich my friends, and screw over every American that's worked any day in their lives. I want to turn bartenders into millionaires just for being on our side, like AOC. So what happens with that is, they have to shut us up because the truth will kill them. You know, it's like that famous line out of Jack Nicholson in The Few Good Men. You want the truth? You can't handle the truth, you know? And the truth is they're stealing from us. And it's the biggest crime family in America. They do so much more than the mafia ever did. I'd much rather deal with the mafia than the government. The mafia was honest about what's going to happen, you know, and the government's not. So it's just a tragedy. And we know this, that 20 or so years ago in Colorado, here in Jefferson County, we started losing these elections. Prior to that, 25 years ago, Democrats wouldn't even run because they had no chance because we owned the ground. We were here and we were entrenched. Well, people started moving out of California because they Californicated that place, and then they tried to do it here. But now they got this great process of deciding who gets elected. You know, like Joe Biden said, I don't care who votes, I care who counts the votes.
Right.
And that's a truth that he didn't mean to let slip out, you know? And
right.
So here we are, now they're counting the votes. You know, when we had election day, you'd go in and you'd show ID and you'd vote. And by the end of that night, we knew who got elected. Now we have these whiz-bang machines that are supposed to be able to tell us and do everything in a matter of seconds. And we don't know for 2 weeks who won.
Right.
Something's rotten in Denmark.
And they don't want to, let me ask you too, while we've got you, because I know you stay in touch with Tina Peters. I know she was saying at that event that she was going to be moved from the Larimer County Jail, where she'd been serving the misdemeanor portion of her sentence, essentially due to the Department of Corrections, to serve the felony portion. And I know you're familiar with law enforcement. A Larimer County Jail
is a jail.
Oh, right, exactly. But I mean, Denver Department of Corrections, I mean, if it was tough for her in the Larimer County Jail, your thoughts on the conditions in the state penitentiary?
So here's what happened. She went from jail, which is a transient, junior high kind of a jail, so to speak, prison. Now she's at DRDC, which is a facility that will evaluate her and determine which prison she's going to go to in the Department of Corrections. And it's a terrible place because you're in with everybody. There's a lot of hostility. It's very transient and you don't know, you know, who you're sitting with or who's next to you. And then so when she finally goes to prison, this will be one of the worst places she'll stay at. And then when she finally goes to prison, she'll get there and she'll get her feet on the ground. Now, I would like to point out that what the judge handed down to her is an illegal sentence. You cannot give somebody the term that they gave in jail followed by a Department of Correction sentence. So really, the whole thing should be voided and should start over. But they won't do that because they're corrupt. You know, one of the things Billy and I argued about today was he seems to believe that if you tell the truth in the courtroom, that's all you got to do. And the truth will set you free. But we all know that judges don't look at the truth at all. They look at their view and then they slam you with their view. And you know, I proved that in my case when I proved that the judge and the prosecutor, federal judge, I don't want to mention her name, Marsha Krieger, lied to the jury in order to secure my conviction. And her little friend, Sunita Hazra, the U.S. attorney, we proved that they both lied. And that overturned a conviction that they gave me for conspiracy, which I did not commit. And you know, it's just a tragedy that people, you know, and I've known Billy a long time. You know, he used to be behind the glass when I do the Peter Boyle show. And, you know, I've gotten along with the fine. And I want to be very clear. I waited till the end of that show. And I went up and talked to Billy again because I don't want to leave as enemies. I don't want to be, you know, and right. I went up to him and talked to him, and we shook hands and patched it up and left just the same as we always have been, which is great,
okay.
You know.
Right.
But he also knows that if he digs in with me, I'm going to whip his ass.
Exactly. And any word on it, we know the Department of Justice is investigating the whole Tina Peters thing, this, you know, the sentencing, the way it was handled. Any progress on that? Or is it the kind of thing that really no news is good news to a certain extent?
It really is. From my experience with my case in winning my appeal, it was all no news. And then all of a sudden, boom, you got it. You won. And right. So it's going to be a real nothing burger. And then all of a sudden, now there is an interesting strategy. I'm not totally 100% on this strategy, but it's something that has come up in the past. If you remember when Lon Horiuchi shot and killed Randy Weaver's wife with a sniper rifle at the incident up in Idaho. Do you remember that, guys?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The state of Idaho charged Lon Horiuchi with the murder of Randy Weaver. She was unarmed. She had no weapon and was defenseless. And he shot her from 100 yards away with a sniper rifle when she was no threat to anybody. She was holding a baby in one hand and a screen door in the other hand. And they charged him. And the federal government came in and grabbed Lon Horiuchi, the FBI agent, up. And they took him into federal court out of the Idaho custody. And they brought him in. They charged him, from my understanding, they charged him with the crime. And then they dismissed the case so it could never be brought against him again.
Oh.
And so something like that could potentially happen with Tina. And I know Trump's on it. And I know, you know, that he has gotten details about the case and it's something he's looking at. And that's a big deal because,
right.
You know, we know that every day is like Christmas with President Trump. He brings us something wonderful. And I'm hoping that tomorrow morning it'll be Christmas and he'll release Tina somehow from jail, even though he can't do it with a simple stroke of the pen like a pardon, which I wish he could. You know?
Right. What about the new leadership of the Republican Party? I mean, this was great. Under the Dave Williams grassroots leadership at the Centennial event, we had Steve Bannon. They had you bringing Tina Peters on. Well, now the new leadership is like they're like Billy. Tina's the enemy. She's wrong. I mean, and I get concerned that these people will. I mean, one of the things I think that the grassroots folks we all have done, and people like you in particular, but even the Colorado Republican Party under Dave Williams kept Tina's name and her situation up there, right? The free Tina thing was there.
Yeah.
Any, you guys hearing anything from this new leadership or your thoughts on that?
All I've heard is they've taken a line that they took directly from President Trump and they've been going around telling everybody, you're fired. And they're not working with anybody else and they're firing people that did a great job. I mean, they fired Tom Bjorklund and Tom was working for Eric Odland, who was the opposition to Dave Williams, and Dave Williams hired him anyway.
Right.
And one of the problems and challenges we had in that debacle of an election there was no good candidate. There was nobody you went and said, I'm 100% behind this person right here. You know what you said? I guess I got to go with this one.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody there that just grabbed hold. Now, I wish the best for Britta Horn, and I would hope that she would get out and do the right thing. But I've seen no evidence of that coming forward at all. And so I hope that it does, and I hope that she changes. But, you know, Tina is a soldier that we've left on the field. And if you leave a soldier on the field, you will never get the respect of the other soldiers ever again. And we have to get Tina back. That's critical.
Well, and you may not know this, and I don't, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but not like that has ever bothered you. So apparently Nancy Pelosi, who was the former COGOP or Jeffco GOP chair, who was one of the coup leaders, is now at least apparently saying she is the paid director of the Colorado Republican Party training and also on her team, also being paid Kathleen Chandler, Heidi Ganahl, and Holly Horn. I don't know that I would put Nancy Pelosi in charge of training. I don't know. Am I putting you on the spot there, asking you your thoughts on that?
Well, Nancy Pelosi's an idiot, and putting her in charge of anything would be a stupid move. There's nothing she couldn't be in charge of kindergarten cookies and lunch and milk. You know, she did a terrible job as chair. I don't want to be the chair. The only reason I took this job is because I could not stand to think of her at the helm for another 2 years. And it aggravated me so much that, and I couldn't find anybody else to run that I had to do it myself. And it's aggravating, to be honest with you. I still have bills that I'm dealing with that she never paid when she was the chair. And she tells me, oh, you don't owe those bills, but she can't produce the documents. So if they brought her in, and listen, Heidi is, you know, got very, very, I mean, she done very, very well with her franchise. And, you know, some of these other people I know, and I right. like them.
But right.
Nancy is a, if Nancy's got, and that's that, I didn't know that. I saw her there this morning, but she took off, you know, when I showed up, like somebody fired her out of a cannon, which is a big cannon, by the way. And, you know, she's a debacle. You know, she doesn't tell the truth. She's very dishonest all the time. You know, she lied about the whole issue with Kristi Noem coming, and she failed miserably at that. She doesn't have a success story. She never got one donor to donate the maximum amount of money to Jefferson County. We're not left with any money to really deal with to start our things. We're really starting from less than scratch. We're starting with a negative, and we have to build it back up to a positive so we can get people to put money into our party. And so it's a tragedy, and that, you know, it's just a shame that they would put her into a paid position, because you know, she couldn't handle a volunteer position. How she could handle a paid position?
Well, I don't know. You know, and I got to wonder if this was maybe, you know, Nancy Plaza used to be grassroots, and then all of a sudden one day decided she needs to oust Dave, and I wonder if this is the payoff. You know, although
well,
I don't know if there's any
you
money.
You have to realize she couldn't fight her way out of a paper bag. But someone who can is Heidi Gnall. Heidi Gnall, part of her whole red state things was to train the grassroots so they grew the right way, was the phrase. So they got Kathleen Chandler, who was part of the Independence Institute, and some others. And Nancy Pelosi maybe have the title, but Heidi Gnall do all the organization and everything else. And you know, the problem is, and you said this to me, Rich, and I thought, you know, I thought back, oh, that's really true. Eric Odlin came on the scene. We came out of Casper's training one, and his big problem is he got caught up with the wrong people.
Yeah.
He did. And they turned him, and so he became an establishment ho. But he, you know, these people are nice, they're helping me. And so a lot of people, as they come into the party, whoever kind of gets them early tends to be the one. And so here they're going to have a bunch of libtards.
Good point.
All of them are libtards and establishment people. And they will be quote-unquote training and maybe helping them a little bit in order to get them so they become either PCPs or otherwise part of the party. Establishment.
Right.
And it's probably, you know, you're being recruited and trained by the worst people. But you think you're being grassroots. I knew more people back in the old days who joined the Americans Prosperity thinking they were doing, you know, they were grassroots. They were part of the great volunteer force. Well, they were being astroturfed and being conned by the Koch brothers into supporting prosperity for China. And that's what they'll do here. And the money, if they have any money.
I'd cash the check real quick if I were them.
Yeah, well, they're going to be, so it's going to be a sad.
You're right, though, Chuck. That's their scheme. The scheme is to catch these people early. So
catch
I don't know.
Them early while they're still innocent.
Well, Nancy was very good at that in the Jeffco party. What she would do is when these people would run, she would send them to Laura Box. You know her? I mean, and she would be their campaign manager. She'd start bilking them for money. And also Tina Francone. And these people, and, you know, Tina Francone worked for No Way O'Day. And, you know, and Laura Boggs worked for Sergio, who ran for CD7 and raised a whopping $20,000 for United States House of Representatives CD7 race. And he went to zero immediately. And he didn't have a bad story, and he wasn't a bad guy. But I told him on day one, you want my help, you got to fire Laura Boggs. Until you do that, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he went with Laura Boggs and look what it got him. And Nancy did stuff like that. She just, you know, like I remember, you know, one of the bills I'm arguing about right now is overpaying for some signs that said Trump Vance signs, you know, for the presidential election. She was buying them and selling them and making a profit for the county, which I would like. But she was selling them for 15 or 20 bucks. And it turns out she was buying some of them for 20 bucks. And so, and I told her I could get her for them all day long for $5 a sign, But because I didn't fit the mold of who she wanted, she couldn't bring herself to go with me the cheaper price, because she doesn't put party first. She puts herself and her cohorts first. And, you know, Nancy has nothing. And so, you know, whenever somebody waves the shiny little object in front of her, she's going to go right for it. And that's what she's done here today. And it's very sad. And, you know, anybody that went to Nancy for training couldn't take her seriously, because, you know, you have to have had some success in your life to be able to teach people how to do things, because you can't come at it unless you're a college professor, which you don't never have to have any success. You could just stand up there and make $400,000 a year, not knowing a thing. But in the real world, to present to people, you have to teach them how to raise money. You have to have raised some money. And yeah. You have to have won some campaigns, and you have to have been a good person. One thing we do need to fix is we need to get our party together so we're moving forward. Now, we don't have to agree on 100% of things. Nobody could be as smart as I am and know all these things. Just a joke there, guys. But, you know, and we need to open up the tent and not bring all the people in, but bring in all the good people. And so what we're going to do in Jefferson County, we're going to bring in youth, and we're going to bring in kids, because kids are fired up about President Trump, because he is the single lone savior of TikTok, and they love him for that, right? So we're going to have a big event.
Go ahead.
We're going to have a big event, hopefully June 21st. We should find out today, and we're going to have an event called Second Amendment Saturday. It's going to be a big deal. We're going to bring in Kyle Rittenhouse, who's a 22-year-old that survived a lethal encounter with a firearm, where he defended himself.
Right.
And we're going to open it up to kids for free. It's going to be a training day. Adults are going to have to pay $150 to come. And when I say kids, I mean from 15 to 21 years of age, because we want those guys to come in with the rest of us old fuddy-duddies and see that there's some cool things going on in the Republican Party. And we're not just going to sit back and let the Republican Party fail because of old age and crotchetiness, you know.
Well, and your timing is perfect. There was a Charlie Kirk. Somebody was talking about a survey that came out today, or maybe yesterday, but talking about they interviewed, you know, young people. Like you said, 18 to 25, something like that, and they were plus 12 for Trump. Do you know? I mean, it wasn't even like they were even. I mean, before it used to be all Democrats. Now the Democrats, I mean, they hated the Democrat Party, particularly the young men, and they loved the Republican Party. So yeah.
We've always been the party. We've always been the party of choice, because we stand for freedom. We stand for being men. Ronald Reagan was a man. He got out and said what he wanted to say. We see these things happening. You know, we love guns and America and freedom, and we're willing to fight, as President Trump said, to be successful. And we're going to do so. And, you know, the thing is, Trump changed the world, not just America. He changed the world. He's got these guys on their heads. Their tails are spinning. They don't know which way's up. These guys are putting tariffs against people we didn't even know were a country. And it's just fantastic.
And they're negotiating. You
know? And, oh, yeah. And they're coming in like, please don't stop the giant from buying from us. You know, please. We know we've been screwing you, but we're not going to screw you anymore. No. You're going to pay back. Trump's going to tell them. You're going to pay back what you screwed us. And so, you know, that's what we need. And, you know, I hope the best for the state party. I was never a big Dave Williams fan to start with, but God, I wish he would have run last time, because I would have voted for him. But I hope that Britta can do the right thing. I'm kind of hoping against hope, but I hope she does the right thing, and I hope she stands up and takes us all in and lets us grassroots people be effective and do our job, because we are the base. And they cannot win without us. It's impossible.
Exactly.
And if they don't have the base, go ahead.
I hope you get some young people into your young Republicans. That term is always like truth, kind of in the eye of the beholder. I had a good friend who was part of young presidents of Colorado, guys who were CEO, who were under, you know, originally 40. So they're the young president. Well, you know, my friend was in his 60s and still partying. What's young about you?
We expect to get the young kid discount, Rich. So.
Yeah, and then also, if you go to the young Republicans of Colorado, the biggest old fuddy-duddy group of establishment hacks you could possibly imagine. I mean, they are just pathetic establishment
I
clowns.
just heard today that the young Republicans are up to 40 years old. Well, I'm going to tell
Ah,
you something. You
there
know,
you go.
my two youngest daughters that are still at home are 16 and 18. And if a 40-year-old walked up to them and started talking to them, they'd say, "Get away from me, you pervert." Because, you know, that's really old when you're, I mean, their dad is ancient, as just like you and Chuck, and you and I are both pretty old dads. And, you know, our kids look at things in a different way. So you know, through my daughter's eyes and through other young kids that I know that I appreciate, we're going to move this thing forward, and we're going to take back some of the ground that was taken from us, because it was 40 years ago that the left took over the media and entertainment and the schools, and they captured, and they've still got it all. And we got to figure out a way to get that back. And we just got to do it. People say there's no space, Colorado can't win again. I defy that, and I will do my best to beat that in Jefferson County. That's why they elected me, because I'm going to move forward. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit. They can attack me, do whatever they want. You know, all the different things that are coming at everybody out there. Bring it on. I'm ready to go. There's nothing they haven't done to me. Listen, I was a felon before Trump made it cool to be a felon.
There you go. All right,
Well,
hey, listen, Rich.
I'm so glad the young Republicans are up to 40, and soon, like I've had my family, they're going to be up to 60,
This is
because
Wow.
there's nothing better than a young 40-year-old Republican.
Yeah.
That tells
Well,
you where they're at.
our cutoff for the free ticket's 21, and that's it. Because at that point, if you can't afford to pay, you don't get to play.
Yeah,
And
there you
that's
go.
all there is to it.
Hey,
Yeah.
Rich,
Well,
thank
thanks
you.
so much, guys.
Thank you
Thank
for
you,
your time.
guys.
Thank you for standing up and what you're doing in Jeffco. Thank you very much.
And I love you guys so much, and I'm so happy you're out there fighting the fight. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
You too.
Okay, take
Thank you.
care.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That
Bye-bye.
was Rich Wyatt there, from the Jefferson County Republican Party, not getting a lot of love. It is funny that the left is still, and people who would be so-called conservatives freaking out about Tina Peters. I hope that under the new party leadership, they don't let it go. I suspect they will,
Don't want to let it
because
go. What are you talking about? They'll help put her in
Tina
solitary,
who?
and
Yeah.
they hate her. They
No, I know.
absolutely hate her. I promise you, Britterhorn and all of them hate Tina.
I know.
So
Well, and I
they
think Heidi is probably, she doesn't want to jeopardize donors, so Heidi doesn't want to speak the truth.
Heidi hates her. I mean,
I don't know if
I
she
shouldn't hate
hates her,
her, and Heidi doesn't hate people,
but
but
I mean,
she isn't a big supporter. She isn't free Tina. And none of the new officers are free Tina.
no.
In fact, they're very
Well,
much
that's why they
regarded.
keep, and hope, so hopefully the Trump administration will do something. Let me move on to something else, because I don't think we have any sound though, Chuck, but I wanted to talk about this, the court system, because once again, you're a lawyer, and I just play one on the radio and the podcast. So today, this is interesting. Judge Boasberg, the god-awful judge, ruled, he was issued a ruling saying that he found probable cause to hold the Trump administration in contempt of court for not obeying his order to turn those planes around that were deporting people to Venezuela. Remember that went on, and the Trump said, well, the planes are in international airspace. Plus, it's the executive, we're doing it under the Alien Enemies Act, and you can't tell us what to do. But even if you could, the planes are out of our control right now. Anyway, so he found probable cause to find Trump in contempt of court, even though there are no facts where the planes were or weren't. What I find particularly interesting about this is that the Supreme Court, people may remember, tossed his order out, said he did not have the authority to issue that order, right? That he didn't have the authority to override the president and this illegal or Alien Enemies Act. And in this 48-page ruling, Boasberg apparently said, doesn't matter. He said, I know that some people, like he literally said, I know some people may say, well, you can't find him in contempt of court because the Supreme Court vacated your order. And he said, but I can, because, but I mean, Chuck, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. That would be, if that's true, then a judge could issue any kind of unlawful order. And then, even though it was found to be unlawful by a higher court, could still hold a lawyer in contempt of court for not following his unlawful order,
Yeah,
right?
because it wasn't unlawful until they vacated it. So up to until then, It was a
But I mean,
lawful
that's a ridiculous order. What if the judge said, or I order you, Chuck Bonnywell, to plead your client guilty? And you said, well, no, you can't, you can't do that. I mean, it wasn't like there was a lot of question, right? The Trump, the Constitution makes it in the, pretty clear that no, this is Trump's, this falls under the executive branch. So it wasn't like it was this kind of iffy thing. I mean, if the judge issues an order that is obviously unlawful, you sh not, I mean, I would think as a lawyer, you'd be ethically obligated to not follow it, right? And then if the judge could turn around and say, well, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court anyway, that's just ridiculous.
Well, he's going to appoint a special prosecutor.
He says, yeah.
Well, he will do it. I mean, I don't think he.
Oh, sure. And I'm going to go with, oh, I don't know, any of the, Mary McCord, any of the Russia collusion, Operation Crossfire, Hurricane, anti-Trump special prosecutors. Maybe
Well,
Robert Mueller can come back.
the reason he did that, among other reasons, but one of the reasons is you can't sentence somebody to more than 6 months in jail without a jury trial in America. So he's going to have a special prosecutor. He's going to bring in a nice jury of Democrats from Washington, D.C. as a jury, so he can impose much longer than 6 month sentences for their contempt of the D.C. court. I think Boasberg really wants to push the constitutional
Oh,
question of
sure.
what is the power of a federal district court judge? How What are its limitations? What are its expansions? And he doesn't seem to be deterred by the Supreme Court.
No.
And so, I mean, I think he will get a constitutional crisis where he finds somebody guilty and
Well, I
orders
mean,
him
the
to
whole thing, I mean,
jail.
let's just play this out. Okay, so let's say, so have a special prosecutor, right? Let's say the special prosecutor, and it's like a perjury trap, right? That they did with General Flynn and things like that. So they talked to General Flynn and they said, well, when did this happen? He's like, well, it happened Tuesday. Then they call him in again and they say, oh, we found out it actually happened on Wednesday. And even though the underlying thing that they were investigating him about is completely gone away because there's nothing to it, they would try to, they, well, then they would threaten to charge him and did charge him with perjury for saying Tuesday rather than Wednesday. It kind of sounds like this, that no matter what Trump does or did, the judge could turn around and say, well, I find you in contempt of court. I'm going to hire a special prosecutor who will, of course, find you in contempt of court, even
Well, fine,
though,
you'll have a jury trial
well, but
among
the special
those
prosecutor would have
nice
to.
DC residents is a jury pool, 98% of them
But
voted
no, but let me
against
back up because if you're the Trump administration, because obviously the DOJ, if I'm them, I just don't play ball. I just say no, not going to show up. And so then what does the judge do? Does he order them arrested? Well, who would go arrest them? The Department of Justice, right? So who's going to go
Trump.
do that?
Well, yes,
But
you
is
have a
he, well,
point.
no, let me, I mean, is he gonna start his own army? Is he gonna start his own
Well,
law enforcement?
if
Well,
he
that's what I'm
could.
saying. That's how dangerous but ridiculous this is. If the Department of Justice said, because you're right, Boasberg has shown he's not going to back down. So if he says, okay, I know that the Supreme Court said I had no authority to order you to do that, but since you didn't, I'm going to find you in contempt of court. Since you aren't going to investigate it, I'm going to appoint a special investigator, special prosecutor. What if the Department of Justice says, we're not going to go to your trial? This is all ridiculous. So the jury convicts him, right? Okay, so now they got this conviction, but who's going to enforce any of it? Do you see what I mean?
Well,
So what?
it's interesting that he's counting on he's a good friend of Justice Roberts. Justice Roberts appointed him as the FISA court judge
He's
in
got connections to
Northwest.
Michael Bennett too. I keep forgetting what, but
And so he's maybe relying on that, but he's certainly pushing it to the point of breaking. I mean, it's
Yeah,
clear.
well, that's what I'm saying. It's like at some point, does he say, okay, well, if the U.S. Marshal's office won't go arrest Trump, I'm going to appoint a special person to go arrest him? And then what happens there? And what if they say the Department of Correction says, well, we're not going to play ball. We're not going to put anybody in jail or in prison. And then he's like, okay, well, now I'm going to create my own prison. I mean, this guy seems to me to be trying to set up an entirely second sort of shadow subservient government that will carry out whatever he wants him to do, no matter what the Supreme Court and the president or Congress say to do. I mean, that's to me, I mean, it's. On one hand, you want to say it's laughable, but on the other hand, like you said, he seems bound and determined to keep pushing past any reasonableness.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see, who folds or doesn't fold. But he thinks it's worth his while to keep on pushing. And he'll be cheered on by the left. So
Well, what
it'll
if, I mean,
be.
so he's already basically ignoring the Supreme Court. I mean, at a certain point.
No, he's not warning the Supreme Court. He's saying I followed it exactly,
Well, yeah, he's saying nobody told me I couldn't. So Trump has already said they'll appeal this, right? They'll appeal his findings. But and when Charlene, she's like, Julie, it's all for trying to lead up to grounds for impeachment and removal. Well, exactly. That's which, of course, didn't work the first time around. So I don't know why they keep thinking it will work. I just, it's just. To me, it's like here's where I think Republicans make, at least, and I'm guilty of this too. You make the mistake, you think sooner or later they're going to stop. Sooner or later they're going to realize, after they've been told so many times, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, they're going to say, okay, we can't do this. But I don't think so. And I mean, I think what he's doing here is dangerous, and I think it's a continuation of the lawfare. And I kind of worry, you'd think, okay, well, it's time for the Supreme Court to step in. But I think it's, they don't care what the Supreme Court says anymore, I don't think.
Well, the Supreme Court could, in theory, take the case away from him, but it's kind of interesting what the Supreme Court jurisdiction over district courts is. The Supreme Court is the only court in the Constitution, and then such other inferior courts that the Congress wants to establish, and so Congress established these court of appeals and district court judges. But that doesn't mean that they report directly to the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court didn't create them in the first place.
Yeah.
What are the powers of the district court? You would think probably that's something that Congress has to decide, since they're the ones who created them in the first place.
And they do have, they're considering legislation right now that would limit the scope of what a district court could do. Well, and hopefully they would say, and we're not paying for a special prosecutor, right? I mean, that's again where there's that. But I just think you're right. The left is, so they tried lawfare and they were happy to use lawfare when it worked for them. And then when it doesn't work for them, they're happy to just ignore the lawfare. I mean, I think it's just going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And in the
Well, there have
long
been a couple of interesting ones. Letitia James said she's not going
run,
to be quote unquote bullied, so she'll try to indict Trump again. Trump
right.
has indicated he's going to try to indict her.
Right, yeah, the Department of Justice for probable cause for that she committed mortgage fraud, which is what she accused him of doing, even declaring her father was her husband to get a better
Well,
deal.
that's traditional in
And she
Democrats.
says the
Celia
just legal
Omar did
system
the
is
same thing,
being
but yeah.
the legal system is being politicized. It's like, no.
Not by you, no, by everybody else. Oh, okay.
And this is from Jacob. Trump can say to Boasberg, take me on like Fannie Willis or Letitia James and see how that comes out. Yeah, exactly. But it well, and which kind of leads me to another thing I wanted to talk about, and that's so that Senator, Maryland Senator Van Hollen went to El Salvador today, made a big deal. He's taping himself talking about going, then he's putting out on X, I'm in the car, then he's putting on X, I'm on the plane. I want to know who's paying for all of this, by the way. And then he goes to El Salvador to get that MS-13 criminal gang member
Oh, you're
free.
talking about the father. Are you talking about the father of the year, the
Yeah, the
Maryland
father of the
man?
year from Maryland. Yeah. Who, and we'll get to this, his wife is nobody's fool. But in the meantime, so he's doing all this, he's making a big deal. And El Salvador, they get there and like they won't meet with him. They say, no, we're not going to let the guy go. No, you can't go to prison. And he walks out and says, oh, I showed them. And here's what I don't get. I mean, it was like the Cory Booker speech, was it, or Hakeem Jeffries, was it, no, Cory Booker speech, where he just like, when I spoke for like 100 hours, not that long, but like 20 over nothing, for nothing. It was just a grandstanding. And that's all this was, right? He knows they're not going to let him walk into jail in El Salvador, but then they do. Oh, yeah, here, this is from, thank you, Charlene. Senator Chris Van Hollen flew all the way to El Salvador to demand the release of a deported MS-13 terrorist and couldn't even get him on the phone. Total failure. And here's the thing. I mean, it is ludicrous, and I get all that. But Chuck, I don't understand why this hill that the Democrats want to die on. Are they just trying to see how far they can sink their party? Because even Frank Letts, the commentator or the pollster guy, who is not a Trump supporter by any stretch of the imagination, says this is a mistake for Democrats to be doing this. So, like, there is massively strong support for Trump deporting criminal, illegal aliens. And why, you know, they mentioned that this Senator Van Hollen didn't do anything about, you know, the young mother, the mother of five, the Maryland mother of five, who was murdered and raped by a criminal, illegal alien, right? Never did anything, but he's going to all this trouble. And people see that. I mean, do you, why do you think the Democrats just are so ignoring the sentiment of the country to pander to criminal, illegal aliens?
Well, because, you know, they're quite used to throwing things against the wall. If it sticks, if it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, the original case in St. Louis where hands up and, you know, don't shoot. And it turned out he didn't say that. And, you know, it was just like, okay, well, let's go on to the next one. One of them will stick and then we'll change the whole world.
Right.
So they just keep on trying.
But there's a point from Jacob. And Jacob, this is what people are seeing now. Why doesn't the congressman or the senator go to Gaza to get the American hostages out? Exactly, you know. And Charlene kind of has a point. It's all intentional chaos. We're living through a cultural revolution. And she says, yes, Chuck, throwing things up against the wall. Exactly. And I guess you're right. Then they'll move on to the next thing, right? And they don't care. It's like
that
Biden is fine.
For the next one.
Yeah,
we'll
Biden is fine.
Deport somebody who shouldn't have been deported. I mean, their problem was, you know, they didn't pick out a very good one. You know, he has domestic violence charges against him and other things.
And now the wife who had the domestic charges filed against him is now saying what a great guy he is because they've set up a Give, Send, Go fund for him. It's just kind of funny.
She got $162,000 so far.
Exactly. Here's
open
another
up your wallet.
If I'm her, I take that straight back to the bank in some other country, not the United States. I go back to El Salvador. He's in jail in El Salvador. He's not spending it, right? It's kind of like out of the blue, she's like this guy who beat her up. I mean, so maybe he, you know, she's probably not too sad to see him gone.
Do we know whether they're married? Not that being married matters anymore, but that's never
that I don't know. She refers to him as her husband. So I don't, I mean, you know, common law being what it is. But I do think it's funny that on one day, you know, Tuesday, she's having him prosecuted for domestic violence. On Thursday, he's the best man, father, or husband. He's the father from Maryland. And she's raising $162,000 out of it. And I agree, you know, what Dr. Donna says right now, too, who paid for the trip to El Salvador? I'm sure, well, maybe Americans, well, one way or another, we did, because even if it went through an NGO, the NGOs are funded by us. So,
oh, no, that
what? Chuck, you're lagging.
What? Flying places and stuff. There's,
yeah,
there's
you're lagging a bit.
House budget.
Yeah, and from Jacob, Omar refers to her brother as her husband.
Unstable.
You're unstable, Chuck. You're unstable.
Mine is unstable. It's unstable. Is it any better?
Yeah, you're fine now. It's just, and we're almost done. The one other thing I wanted to talk about, and we'll have to talk more about this later when we can play the sound. Megyn Kelly started talking about the Colorado craziness with the law that the House passed, that I'm sure the Senate will pass and Polis will sign, saying that say that you and I are going through a divorce, we have a child, and the child is brainwashed by corrupt sexual predator teachers who say, you're not really a boy, you're a girl, you're not really a girl, you're a boy. And one of the parents says, no, you know, I'm going to fight for my kid. Thank you, Jacob. Senate Bill 25-13-12 says that the parents, essentially, it's considered the same as abuse, right? And that can be considered as a reason for keeping the parent out of any kind of custody case. And Megyn Kelly is kind of going on and on saying, what is with the craziness in Colorado? And then her guest, who was great, said, hey, look, that there's a bigger picture here. And he was pointing out that it wasn't all that long ago that Colorado had many strong Republican areas, like Rich was talking about, and Republicans could win. And he's like, elections have consequences. And he was saying, you know, Colorado should be an example. And he was from Iowa, so he was citing Minnesota. He said how quickly elections and two election cycles can completely change anything, right? I mean, you're right. A couple of election cycles ago, people were being recalled for some of the anti-gun legislation that they were passing. Now they don't even blink about it. And that's going back to what Rich said. You have to fight, and hopefully the new Republican Party leadership.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not holding my breath. I mean, here's the thing. They promised they could do something about it. So I guess they'll see how easy that is. But I mean, don't you think it's true? I mean, things can change. Yeah, from 2013, the recall. Exactly, Dr. Ghana. Things can change in just a couple of election cycles.
Well, that means all you have to do is figure out how to rig it. I mean, that's how they did. And that's the blueprint in Colorado. And because I can remember, because I was lobbying down at the Capitol at the time, Republicans were taking over the state. The California's moving in, where, hated California, and they came to Colorado and were registering as Republicans. Everything was on the Republican side, and four rich people and a lot of bright people changed it all. They
right.
changed it all. And now we're the bluest of blue states. Not only do you control all the House, Senate, and governorship, but they control all the judiciary. They control every statewide office. I mean, there is no state more blue than Colorado.
No. And it was engineered. And it was engineered. You go
yeah,
back to
well, it had two parts of it. One was engineered, and two, moderate Republicans, and this happens throughout the world, they view themselves closer to Democrats than they do populists. And
right.
So when all the rules were changed and everything, they did nothing about it. And then, Britta Horn, is she going to fight the Democrats? No, she is a Democrat.
She's not going to fight for the opt-out. She's not going to push. Barb Kirkmeyer is going to shove through.
No, she's going to work for it. She's going to clean Barb Kirkmeyer's kitchen. I mean,
Right. And Barb Kirkmeyer will get rid of the caucus and assembly. And then Kent Thierry will swoop in and we'll have a ranked choice jungle voting system, which is, I think, that's the ultimate goal. And for folks out there, we'll talk more about that later. That's the real battle that we're in right now. Because we've seen what the motor voter laws, what the ballot harvesting, what the non-purging of the voter rolls, we've seen what that resulted in Colorado. And I mean, they're not done. And it's just Colorado's a petri dish for the rest of the country, I think, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So play more golf.
Play more golf. And then we'll look forward to Party Friday.
Party Friday. Play more golf.
On Party Friday, we're going to have Cody LeBlanc on. There is some stuff happening behind the scenes where the grassroots movement, I guess I would call it, is we're working hard. We're working hard and things are happening. And Cody LeBlanc is going to be on to talk about some of that as well. But thank you to Rich Riott for his talk. Yeah, merging to Montana. but that will do it for us today. Everybody, we will
thank you, everyone.
See you on Party Friday.
Have a good week, and we'll see you on Party Friday.